by offering sincere thanks to Alan and indeed Jenny for their support during my year as High Sheriff. As you know, Alan was my chaplain throughout, and he performed that role with his usual mixture of gentle encouragement and wise counsel. Now, at the 8:30 service, I made the poor joke that this continued even when the Spurs results wavered, but it would be unfair for me to tell that again. The High Sheriff is a royal appointment made annually in each county, and the formal duties are largely supporting Her Majesty's judiciary, police, prison, probation, and other emergency services. The High Sheriff is not remunerated or expensed or supported in any way, and that actually is very good because you're truly independent, impartial, and actually the vast majority of people you meet because of that trust you implicitly and will share thoughts that, frankly, I doubt they would share with many others. The fact you're impartial, independent, and not supported means that each High Sheriff can decide for themselves how to spend the vast majority of their time, usually in support of charity and voluntary sectors, and to focus on one particular theme during the year. In my case, this was the complex and deeply troubling issue of the permanent exclusion of pupils from secondary, primary, and yes, even nursery schools across the county. The link between such exclusions and later negative involvement with the police and the judicial system is obvious to all. And I have to say, it's very evident during visits to the 5 prisons in Surrey. Indeed, on the morning that Alan and I both visited Bronzefield Women's Prison, that's the largest women's prison in Europe, a woman had just been taken into temporary custody in the main entrance after she had literally gone berserk. She was screaming, swearing, assaulting the guards. We later found out from the governor that she had actually just been released and was desperately fighting to be taken back into prison. The only community she had and the only place she felt safe. Needless to say, her history included a very troubled childhood and permanent exclusion from school at a very early age. The cost of this to society is huge and, I believe, unsustainable. And that says nothing of the dreadful cost in terms of ruined lives. Now, it's very important that the High Sheriffs do not interfere or express strong opinions during their year in office. But mine is now over. So I can briefly share some of my depression, shame, astonishment, and pride in our county as I summarise just a few of the lessons I learned. Surrey is perceived as one of the wealthiest counties in the UK, which it is, with the majority of the population enjoying a high quality of life, which we do. Just last week, the chief executive of a very large, well-known national charity told me that we don't need to look at Surrey. There's no deprivation in your county. The truth is that there are many pockets of genuine deprivation hidden within towns and villages normally associated with prosperity and high living standards. Social deprivation in Surrey is having a devastating effect on families, children, the young, old, and the disabled. And matters are getting worse as central and local government funding continues to be drastically reduced. In my lifetime, we have always relied upon these institutions to protect the vulnerable. But I can promise you, they are now beyond choice in finding the next round of required savings. and those savings go on as far as anyone can see into the future. I have stories, real examples, which you as upstanding members of the community would find almost unbelievable. Indeed, I'll share one with you in a few moments. We have literally hundreds of school-age young people in Surrey lost to education. As one very experienced head teacher told me, young people will learn and they do want to belong. If we do not embrace those facts and provide the inspiration, then other very clever, ruthless, often criminal communities will and are. I found that many people, and I include myself in this, are confused when words such as deprivation and poverty are used to describe conditions within the UK, and particularly Surrey. However, the brutal words excluded from society are understood by all. It is terrible to think of adults who feel excluded from their community. But to have children and young people facing such rejection in Surrey, well, words fail me. So enough of the depression and the shame. What about the astonishment and pride? Our volunteers across Surrey are astonishing. Many of you here today are amongst the tens of thousands of exceptional individuals operating right across society who simply want to make a difference. Your scale of operation, professionalism, dedication, and sheer numbers are far beyond any perceptions I previously held. For example, it's wonderful to see our police and firefighters, who all face increasing pressures in their places of work, in their day jobs, volunteering their time to support, coach, and develop young people, many of whom are from disadvantaged backgrounds. Throughout my year, I was very proud to serve as patron of the Surrey Volunteer Police Cadets. They currently operate 6 units based in secondary schools in very challenging areas of Surrey, with over 200 14 to 18-year-olds attending each week. In excess of 40% of those young people are defined as vulnerable to exclusion. And I have to say, in many cases, their parents are not too keen to have anything to do with the police. But experience shows that's when grandparents step up and make sure that the opportunity is not lost. And what an opportunity it can be. Let me share the story of one young cadet who won the Patron's Award, my award, in recognition of her personal resilience and determination. This is a story which is both depressing but ultimately uplifting, so bear with it. Rosie suffers from dyslexia and ADHD. As a 14-year-old, had been in serious trouble with the police and other authorities and was facing severe personal challenge, including the imminent threat of permanent exclusion from school. To avoid yet another black mark officially given on such a young life, Mum, Janetta, was encouraged to remove Rosie from school and find somewhere else for her to go. In their hour of need, our education system then failed them. An astonishing 22 schools in Surrey refused to offer help. By chance, at the same time, Janetta had decided to enroll Rosie as a police cadet. She couldn't tell me to this day what made her do it. She saw it, heard about it from friends, and decided to do it. She and Rosie were astonished when she was immediately accepted. Within weeks, and this is true, Rosie had discovered a love for the discipline and teamwork involved with drill. Marching up and down in close order and learning complicated routines. For some reason, this proved to be the real focus for change. Rosie's never looked back. Within a matter of 1 year, she's become a mentor for new cadets in her unit and is back in full-time education, albeit out of county, over an hour away in Kingston. But she is thriving. Being a police cadet was certainly the catalyst and inspiration, but Rosie was then able to make her own positive choices, and she has changed her life literally. I know for certain that we have an astonishing capability within the county to be able to do so much more for ourselves as a community. Of course, we must ensure that all those responsible for carrying out statutory duties are appropriately held to account. But it is quite evident to me that such duties are now largely restricted to those already in crisis. What then of the many thousands who have not yet reached crisis point, but are in a certain path to that destination? Every wise person I have met agrees that early intervention is key. And there are many, many examples of good, if not best practice, across Surrey available for replication if only we can find the means to ensure that we do bring those efforts online fully for everyone across the county. I believe it's up to civil society to take the lead, and that means all of us. One final observation, if I may. Now that we've had time to reflect, Kath and I puzzle over the issue of whether our well-intended efforts made any difference at all. Thanks to social media, and I have to tell you, I never thought I'd put those four words together. Thanks to social media, we've been able to look back at all of the electronic records blogs I made of every engagement during the year, and we can recognize quite a few number of incidents where, and please excuse this rather clumsy analogy, individual starfish stranded on the beach have now moved back into the mainstream ocean of life through the simple act of connecting them with various volunteer experts. Such memories provide great motivation in the face of the many challenges, and our enthusiasm and determination to do something, however small, to address the growing inequalities and exclusions evident in our county is as strong as ever. Thank you for listening.